Hey, what's up, guys? Listen, Jason Wiles here, personal trainer. I want to tell you guys today about my story on the podcast here. I want to talk to you about the struggle of addiction. I was an addict for years. Anybody can turn their addiction into their superpower. You can change your life if you change your thinking. I always heard that, and I heard that from everybody, and I read books about it, and I was broke and had no money, no wealth, you know, and I'm going to tell you my story about how it really does come true if you really put the work in. You know, it's about the struggle, but sometimes the worst things in your life can be the best thing in your life. I was born June 2nd, 1985, and I'm from New York City, but I was born in Maryland. I guess my mom was on vacation. To make a long story short, I grew up with a father that was an alcoholic, drug addict. He did every drug you could think of. He was abusive to my mother, physically, verbally, in front of me as a baby. I seen it growing up as a young child. And, you know, he would rape her, beat her. I would hear this all the time as I got older. She left him actually when I was around 5 years old. She took off at a gas station. She had a pair of separate keys in her bra area, and she took it off, the extra key, because he told her that he would kill me. I'm the youngest. I have an older brother named Rob and an older sister that she didn't live with my mom at the time. And my mom might have been on drugs and alcohol at the time. I'm not exactly sure. She never really told me. But if you hang around with drug addicts, you're probably doing it. And I know the struggle of addiction. And my father, he just never got his life right. And anyhow, she took off at the gas station and drove off. And he chased after her and tried to punch the window out. And she went to her grandparents' house. And then after that, I was raised by my grandparents and in New York. And I was raised by my grandmother. And she just taught me, you know, Italian woman. She taught me the ways to respect people and be better. But I really didn't listen. I kind of ran the streets. I didn't really have a father figure other than my grandfather. And he helped me, you know, play sports and do things and be active. And it really changed my life in a good way. But in the beginning, I was just drinking all the time. I started drinking at the age of around 12, 11 and 12. I started experimenting with girls at the age of 12, sleeping with women at 12. And you know what? I'm not proud of it, but I didn't have a father figure. So I didn't know what was wrong or right. You know, I learned that being a man, if you're good looking, you're built, and you get a lot of girls, you're the man, you know, in New York for sure. And a lot of clubs and parties I would get into, not at 12, but as I got older at 16, I would get into clubs and drink at friends' houses and do drugs. And you know, the struggle of addiction is so real. You know, I believe if your father's an addict, you're going to be an addict. You have addictive personality. And I could take that addiction and say that it was something that is bad for me. It's going to hurt me. Or I can use my addiction into fitness like I did. So I'm living in New York and I'm older now. I did the party life and I thought it was just every weekend. It was just drinking, drugging, smoking weed, doing cocaine, you know, hooking up with girls. I mean, that's what life was about to me. And it was like watching Scarface, you know. I wanted to be like the Godfather. I just wanted to be somebody, a gangster, you know. I didn't really know what real good people were like. I didn't have good people in my life other than my grandfather and grandmother. And, you know, in New York, it's a rough place to live. I grew up in Queens and, you know, Jamaica, Queens. And you know what? It's rough because people don't understand that New Yorkers really don't care about you. If you know, like, you could die in front of somebody and they'll step over you. So my story is that I always believed I had to fit in. I always believed I had to be a part of something. So I was not a leader like I am now, as a confident man that I am now at 34 years old. I was more of a follower. I just followed everybody. My bigger brother, I followed him. Everything he did, I wanted to do. If he hooked up with girls, I wanted to know what it was like to hook up with girls. If he did coke, I wanted to do coke. If he did, you know, weed, I wanted to learn how to roll blunts. I wanted to smoke and rap and get high and just do things that were wasting time. I mean, time is a very valuable thing when you become wealthy. You learn that. And I'm in New York and now I'm older. You know, I'm in my 20s and I'm partying. I'm hanging around with a rough crowd. You know, they got guns on the table, drugs there. And, you know, I'm thinking I'm cool. I got my tattoos. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. And I met this girl and I started talking to other girls, and my life started, you know, thinking it was doing good. And I ended up in jail, you know, in Rikers Island for fighting. And I got a fight in jail. The guy wanted to step to me and I punched him in the face and I got out of jail. The girl I was with didn't want anything to do with me. I have nowhere to live. The family didn't want to talk to me because they didn't like the girl I was with. They knew she was somewhat evil and that she was a bad person in my life. My grandmother died. And my grandfather died after my grandmother died a year later. And so I lost the two most important people in my life. And I'm in New York and I have a dream about being, you know, the highest paid trainer in the world. I want to be the best. And whatever I do, I'm an addict. I go 0 to 100 real quick. And, you know, and I wanted to be the best and it didn't work out that way at first. You know, I had to go through a lot of pain, a lot of struggle. Ended up homeless on the train in New York. I slept on the train in middle of winter with no jacket, nothing at all. I just had a thin like hoodie and it was like a black hoodie. I remember it like it was yesterday and dirty blue jeans and these old shoes. And I was just, you know, I was laying. I'm usually right now I'm 6'1", 210 pounds of muscle. I was 150 pounds on the train for 90 days. I got down to 150 pounds and I was eating dollar slices of pizza every day. The snow was up to my knees, you know, and I would go all day and walk around the city in the snow. And I would try to get a hold of people to stay somewhere for a night. Or if I would meet a girl, I would stay with her for one night. Then she'd kick me back out or she'd let me stay until she realized I was a user. Like my father, I was just a user. I tried to use everybody for whatever I could to get over on them. And because that's the addict way, right? And I was a self-sabotager. If I had a good job, I would lose it. I would spend all my money. And, you know, so I'm homeless on the train and I get a job, but I'm not going to say the name. I get a job at a gym in New York and I run into a celebrity and I started talking to him and they were like, oh man, you're a really good trainer. You're really good. And I didn't let them know that, oh, by the way, I live on the train. You know, I made it, I mean, because I could shower there. I got clean cut, shaved. No one knew that, you know, I was actually that poor and I was like crying myself to sleep every night eating dollar slices of pizza. If I could get the dollar slices of pizza, I had to beg people for money just to get food. And I wasn't doing it to get drugs or alcohol. I didn't even want to drink at that point anymore. I was going to meetings, you know, and talking about my feelings and I couldn't get sober because every time that I wanted to get sober, I would think about my past and my father and I didn't deal with the pain that he caused me. I didn't deal with the pain that I was causing other people in my life and how I was self-sabotaging and hurt people on purpose because I didn't want to be loved. I didn't believe as an addict, as a person with addictions and no father, that he deserved to have love in his life. That why would anybody love me, right? Like my grandmother loved me because I feel like she had to, but why would anyone else love me, you know? Like people on the train pass me, look at me, and they're like, who's this bum sitting here, you know, or laying here? It was a knife fight that went on the one night. And I was just like, literally stand up, told him, knock it off. And I went back to sleep. Like I was either going to punch somebody in the face or something. And I mean, that was like the hardest time of my life. Yet now I see, at you know, years later that I loved that. That happened to me because it was the best thing that ever happened to me. It was the hardest thing in my life. I went to lockup boot camp. I went to different jails. I've been in the worst prisons. And I'm telling you, the best thing that ever happened to me was homeless on the train 90 days in the middle of winter with no jacket. And I had a couple friends that would help me with some food now and then. And it was the best thing because it put me at that time, it put me in a mindset that you cannot outwork me. You know, everyone says it, you know, I hear it all the time. I watch motivational videos. I would literally go watch like TV in stores, you know, that were talking about motivation or this and that. I would try to even, you know, I even got a cheap like burner phone, a free phone, and I would like watch YouTube on there, you know. And as I started training people and started loving people and showing love to them, you know, in the fitness world, my name got out there and they were like, hey, you know what? You helped me lose 10 pounds in a month. Can you come on Good Morning America show? And I was like, what? Yeah, I can come on Good Morning America show. And I ended up on Good Morning America's show as Ginger Z's wedding trainer. She lost 15 pounds in 90 days. And I changed, you know, her life and fitness. And she was somewhat into health already, but I just did different workouts that other trainers didn't. And I'm not so cookie cutter with my training. So I'm always thinking outside the box in life and in general. I'm always trying to better myself. So I went from that pain and struggle, sleeping on the train, a middle of winter with snow coming down, nobody loved me, nobody cared for me, to being on a TV show where millions of people see me and now see my workout. I mean, it was so much fame so quick, it was hard to deal with. And, you know, I had Gunnar Peterson, you know, Gunnar, you know, write to me on Instagram saying, keep it up, you know, Wilds, you know, work hard. And I'm out, I'm trying to outwork everyone around me, you know, because I use that pain to reinforce me to push myself to my limits every day. When I wake up, I think about my back against that wall and myself on that train. I see myself actually on the train with that dirty clothes and 150 pounds, dollar slices of pizza. I see, you know, the pain my father gave my mother, and she would tell me about my father just to, so I wouldn't go look for him, because I was always looking for my father. He was still alive. You know, he lived somewhere in Maryland. I was like, I'm going to go find him. You know, I want to go meet him. And she would tell me stories like he would put a knife to my throat or threaten to put a knife to my throat as a baby just so he could get baby formula money so he could sell the formula and get drugs like heroin and coke and whatever drug he was doing. And, you know, cheat on my mom, beat my mom, rape my mom. You know, I mean, the threats that she had, I know she loved the man, but she was in a self-sabotaging world. Like, a man was insane. And I see how addicts are, you know, that we need to make meetings. We need to be around people, reach out. We need to stay. I talk about turn your addiction into your superpower, right? It's about changing your life the right way. I took that mindset from being on that train and homeless to going out in the gym. And I'm going to say every day, I'm going to help someone. How can I help this person in their fitness? How can I help this person be better in any way, right? And how can I help them in any way? What can I do for them? Every day I say that to myself. What's their why? Why are they here? What? And that was my niche. Like I now do posture correction and rehabilitation and pretty much what physical therapists can do, I can do. You know, I changed a client's shoulder the other day at the gym I work at and, you know, the businesses that I run now. I mean, everything is taking off and it's the blessings of God. I got to give a shout out, you know, to Javier Mendez. Javier Mendez took me actually off the train when I was homeless, and he took me in his house in New York City, and he just showed me the way of God, and I became a Christian. I was taught by my mother to believe in Jesus, but we weren't really going to church. We weren't really talking about God other than if things got out. She would pray and things like that. I'm not saying she wasn't a Christian, but I learned how to walk the walk and talk the talk with him. And he's an ex-addict too, a cocaine and alcohol addict that started a church in his house called Legit. And now it's in Easton, Pennsylvania. It's all around the world. And it's just taking off. So I have to give a shout out to him because that man saved my life. You know, he had a family of two kids, you know, around my age, a little bit younger. And he took me in because we were friends. We met one time. And it was like God put us together for the right reasons. And I'll tell you, we related in so many things. And he changed my life. You know, he sat down and showed me God, the Bible, and I became a Christian. And after that, my life really didn't change overnight. It was a big struggle. I mean, I believe in God and the devil. And the devil was coming after me a lot more because I was going to church. I was reading my Bible and I was staying away from the women. I was staying away from this and just changing my life thanks to him. And, you know, I can't even tell you what God has planned for you. You have no idea. I was sitting on the train. You think I knew that I would have a brand new car, a big house. You thought, you know, you think I knew any of that would happen? You thought I thought I was going to die. 150 pounds and I looked super skinny with no muscle. I mean, the only time I got to shower was when I went to the gym because I worked at a gym. And I would go from gym to gym and try to, you know, get different clients and would build my business. And after Good Morning America, it just took a skyrocketed. I literally trained every celebrity you could think of. And I was out there and the business now is amazing. You know, the business is just taking off 1,000% every day. You know, I listened to Eric Thompson. He even liked one of my things on Instagram the other day while I was training. And I was just, I'm just so blessed now because the pain and suffering that I went through, I use now every day to better my life. And if it wasn't for God, I don't think I would have stayed alive. I had a friend die of heroin. I had a friend get shot. I had a friend, you know, got life in prison. I was going down the same route. I had alcohol poisoning twice. I had overdose of cocaine when I was 18 years old. I did a whole 8-ball of cocaine. and my heart rate was 195 beats per minute. And I was in the ambulance and they gave me some stuff to bring my heart rate down. And they said, you might not make it. What's your religion? My mother came. She was alive at the time. Listen, whatever you're going through in life, don't think that you can't get out of it. You know, this is for the people out there that believe that it's over. You know, that either they're homeless or they're listening to this right now and they're in an abusive relationship. You can leave that guy. And if you have an eating disorder, you can stop eating what you're eating. If you have a sex addiction, you have alcoholism, you have whatever you have, your addiction is, overspending, I don't know, whatever it is, you can turn that addiction into your superpower. I took addiction of alcoholism, drug addict, and women to take it into fitness in a positive, healthy way. I got a 9-year-old son, and my fiance got a 12-year-old son. I mean, I have a great family. Her dad's a pastor. He taught me more about God. I mean, God just had my back. He was an ex-alcoholic too and drug addict. And it's like, look how God takes people that are, you know, they look like they don't have it together. You know, they're in the struggle life. You don't think God will use you in the most way that your values and your life change, right? Like my values before was get laid, get drunk, and party. Now my values is praise God, give back, you know, raise money, and how can I help others? And that kind of stuff. That's my values now. As a man, I got to show my 9-year-old son that I'm a man of God. I got to show my family that I'm a man of God. And I got to show myself. When I look in the mirror, I used to look in the mirror when I was drunk and high and say, who is that person? Who is that addict addiction person? That is not me. I would hit myself in the chest and say, that's not me. I'm going to quit that. That is not who I am. I am better than that. And I would not live like that anymore. And guess what I would do the next day? Weed, coke, alcohol. Actually, I would just get high and drunk. Because addictions, if you don't work them, they would destroy you. Think about it like this. I look at it like working out. You're on the treadmill, right? But you turn the treadmill at 15 miles an hour. That's the fastest most treadmills go. And yeah, I can run on that, but I can't run forever. Well, that's my addiction. If I don't keep running, that addiction won't slow down. It kicks my ass and throws me off. And I don't want that. So what I do daily is I have a gratitude list. I write down everything I have gratitude for, everything that I'm grateful for, you know, for my family, for my son, for my dog, for this, for that, for the jobs, for these clients, for this. I say what I'm grateful for. Then I ask God to forgive me for all my sins. And then also ask him, help me bless somebody today. Help me change somebody's life and fitness in a way that I can never change their life. I help thousands of people lose weight. I help thousands of people gain lean muscle and feel great. I gave them nutrition plans to help them change their life. I want to change people's life. Do I want to be the best trainer in the world? The best trainer I can be every day. I try to grow from the man that, or the little boy that was on the train scared and eating dollar slices of pizza to the man now, you know, 210 pounds of muscle, working out daily, doing functional training, changing lives. That's the man I want to be, stay to be, and always growing. I mean, I'm growing the business more and more every day, and it's about changing your thinking. And I started reading books and put down the Netflix and the movies. I still watch movies time to time, but I make sure my time is very valuable to me. Very valuable. I wake up early and I grind. And I hear like Eric Thompson say that and other people. And I went to a Tony Robbins event and changed my life too. And, you know, Les Brown was there. And all these people are like motivation to me. You know, John Maxwell. I read their books and I do what they tell me to do and it works. You know, I use neurolinguistic programming on my clients that I had a client that was overeating all the time. I did neurolinguistic programming and linked pain to the food that they used to love so they didn't go back to eating that chocolate bar every day. So I not only can change their mindset, I can also help them make better choices so they can live the way they want to live. Because addictions will control you if you don't put work in. And I'm just going to say this, like whatever you're going through, you can get through this. All you got to do is pray and trust in your higher power for a better life. That's what I have, a better life now. And, you know, I give thanks to everyone out there who helped me change my life for the better. So, if you guys want to check me out more, it's Wildes, W-I-L-D-E-S, training on Instagram. Anybody can turn their addiction into their superpower. Hey, what's going on, guys? Jason Wiles here. Listen, I'm talking to you guys about salvation, okay? I want to talk to you about the prodigal son and salvation. The prodigal son, he went out with all his father's money and he partied pretty much. Had a big party. He messed around. He committed many sins. He spent all the money. And then he comes back and his brother is mad because his dad opened arms, kissing him, hugging him, showing him love. And that's how God is with us, you know, that no matter if we are the prodigal son, we go out, we sin, we come back in, God loves us. God still loves you. And the prosperity gospel, I'm not sure about, where people were talking about God's going to bless you with unbelievable blessings. And I'm not Joel Osteen, people. I don't know what blessings God will give you. But I do know that, well, for example, my mother believed in God and loved God. And she died of cancer at a young age of 60. So do we always know what God has planned? Now, she was praying that God was going to heal her. And I told her God already healed her. She was saved by God. And that's all that matters. So if we really think about it, this world doesn't matter. It's a very short time. And we're only here for a very short time. So think of it like this. You know, you have all eternity in heaven where you're, you know, having the best time of your life, praising the Lord, or you're in hell being tortured for all eternity. And no pastors talk about hell anymore. They don't talk about they all talk about prosperity gospel and how we'll be wealthy and rich. And I don't remember Jesus talking about that. You know, Jesus would heal you of leprosy. Jesus healed the sick. He raised the dead. You know, Jesus did all that. He casted out demons in his name. And then the disciples could have power to cast out demons. And a lot of if you read the Bible, the one person that fell down and convulsing was having a seizure pretty much. And they said it was demons, but it was really a seizure. And God healed him of the seizure right away. Lazarus was in a coma and God pulled him out of the coma. Or he was completely dead. I don't know. I mean, the Bible said he was completely dead and he pulled him out of death and brought him back. Just show his miracles that he could work. And I do believe that there is a better life with Christ. But it doesn't mean you'll be wealthy if you follow God. It doesn't mean you have a big house or a Ferrari in the garage. It doesn't mean that. To follow God means that you will be saved in the end. And your life and your soul, your Holy Ghost will take you to the Father in his spirit self. And we have to follow God. Jeremiah 29:28 says that, "For the plans I know I have for you, declare the Lord, plans of prosperity, plans of, you know, enjoyment, love, all these things that God has planned for us." So he does say a little bit about prosperity, but I get tired of Joel Osteen and the other people out there that are talking about God loves you. There's actually other ways to get to heaven, but through Jesus, there's another way. There is no other way. There is only through Jesus Christ. And without Jesus Christ, you'll never make it. The only way to see me through the Father, or get to me through the Father, is through Christ. And we just have to worship Christ. And whatever you're brought up in, maybe you're brought up in a different religion or a different belief, eventually God will start working on your heart in these last days. We got fires in California. We got tsunamis in other parts of Thailand and other parts of the world. We got hurricanes all over Florida and North Carolina. You know, we got phantom. We got people dying from no food in other countries. We have lust everywhere. We have Sodom and Gomorrah and all the big cities. They're all going to be destroyed, probably. And we have Trump and Biden fighting right now. It is just, we want to live for God because we don't know when we're going to get this rapture. We don't know when the rapture is coming and when the rapture is going to take us away. The rapture, in a blink of an eye, we're all going to be gone. And I haven't been living for the Lord. And I didn't want to preach the word of God because of that, living in sin. But maybe this would help me help someone else to live out of sin, you know, because if I can change my habits 1% every day, like James Clear says in the habit, Atomic Habits, you learn the same thing in the Bible. If you could just read the Bible 1% every day and get 1% better and more godly, you know, then you could get better with God. I just want to get better with God. I want to have a better relationship than what I have right now. But every time I sin and go act out and go do something wrong, I come back with shame. I'm on my knees praying to the Lord for forgiveness. And the thing is, the Lord already forgave you because he knew you were going to sin beforehand. He said as soon as you get saved, that he forgives the sins that he knows of. Well, the sins he knows of all. But the sins that you're about to commit, the sins that you think you're going to commit, or the sins you never thought you would commit, all the wrong you ever did, he's going to forgive. But we got to walk with him, people. And that means read the Bible, get a Bible study, get a group, start listening to my podcast, and we're going to teach more about the Bible. We're going to learn more about the prodigal son. We're going to learn more about Joseph. We're going to learn more about John, Matthew, Luke, and John, all the main ones in the Bible. And we're going to learn about Acts and the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. So if you guys want to learn more about God, just stay tuned for my podcast. Jason Wild out.